Last week, the word that the Lord spoke to me was revival. How many of you have ever heard, just raise your hand if you've ever heard that old hymn, Amazing Grace? Well, if that song were written today, and if it were sung by the church today, it would go like this. Now, I did not write this, but I did hear this. It would go like this. Amusing grace, how sensual the sound that entertained a seeker like me. I once was lost, but now amused, was blind, but now deceived. Where does the church, when I say the church, I'm talking about the universal church first. Where does the universal church stand concerning the Word of God? This is where they stand. Oh, who are we to say? Allah is just another name for God. Mormons are just another denomination. Jesus is love, and He accepts everyone. There is no need to repent. No, you don't need to change your lifestyle. You were born that way. Oh, you love her? It's okay. It's okay for you to leave your family. God understands, after all, you love her, not your wife, vice versa. It's a disease just like cancer. Go to some meetings and find your higher power. The church wants people to come in and it will accept their lifestyles. This is what they say. No need to change. Accept their practices. No need to change. We have lights, movies, music. That is exactly what you already listen to. Oh my, we have a coffee house. We meet in a bar over a beer. And we still use the language foul and crass as we have always. No need to change. Just come in and join us. God doesn't require anything. Just join us. God doesn't require anything. Just come as you are. And we will speak soft, comforting words to keep you happy, entertained. This is the 21st century church. The Bible is outdated. We need to interpret it for 21st living. And you know what? I've left out a lot of this. But Paul, he knew what was coming. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul wrote to Timothy, a young minister, he said, "For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Now, I'm going to ask you, where does your church stand concerning the word? The church that you're in, where does it stand? And so that it's more personal for all, where do you stand concerning the word? Where do you stand in your own walk with the Lord concerning the word? God's word speaks to His church corporately, as a whole, and then it speaks to the individual. God has been and is speaking to all who will listen today. In many hearts right now, you have locked the door and closed your ears. But God desires for us revival. This is what He's spoken to me. And I'm telling you, I'm as sure as that as I am that this is here. But this is what He said. He said revival cost. It costs you something. The cost is to allow your ears to hear the Holy Spirit and to respond. Today, open the doors of your heart. And may you have hearing ears today. Because a lot of us have ears, but they don't always hear. And the Holy Spirit wants you to have hearing ears. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And we'll start with verses 1 and 2. If you don't have a Bible, maybe you want to sit next to someone who does. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 and 2. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. And so it says, it's recorded here, the Holy Spirit recorded this. He said, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. And so what had David done? What had he done? In 1 Samuel 13, 14, it says that the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. If you remember, the people cried out for a king, and so God gave them Saul. But Saul did not follow after God. And so it says that God looked for a man and He found David. It said David was a man after His own heart. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it's recorded in the New Testament. It says that I have found David, a man after my own heart, who will do my will. So what did Hezekiah do? He was a man after God's own heart, and he wanted to do the will of God. That was what he wanted. You know, this is the road, this scripture right here, this is the road to revival for God's church worldwide, for God's church here, and you, God's church, to do the will of God. His will is not outside of His Word. His will is not outside of His Word. King Hezekiah, he was the son of King Ahaz. And King Ahaz was a wicked, wicked king. He was unfaithful to God. And so I want to read to you out of 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 24 and 25. It's just a smattering. But if you love the Old Testament, you can take some time and go back and read all of it. But this is what it says. So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. In every single city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. So we see that Hezekiah wasn't nurtured in the womb of a believing family. He was in a family. His father was a God hater, is what we would call him. He was a God hater. But Hezekiah, God had his hand on him. This man sometime heard God, and at a young age, 25 years of age, he stepped into the place to be the king, to lead a nation at 25 years of age. And not only does he take that place to be king, but he desires to do what's right in God's eyes. He desires to follow after God, and he desires to lead in that. That's what David did. That's what David did. He didn't have a father who set the example. He heard the voice of God, and he followed God. He followed God. We have a revival. This is a revival that's recorded here for us. This is God's word on revival. With revival comes this. It comes to the place that this is the most important thing in your life. This comes before everything. This comes before honeydew. This comes before sweetie pie. This comes before little ones tugging at you, pulling at you. This comes before your job. This comes before everything, the Word. Without this, you do not have the mind of Christ. You are just fumbling around up here in your own head. But this is what God records for us. This is God's Word on revival. And you know, God spoke to me that, you know, Pastor Mark, he's been praying for revival. He's saying, pray for revival, pray for revival. And I want you, if you've been here for a while, tell me when we've not prayed for revival. But God says that, you know, we're looking at the TV preachers. We're looking at all of these places around us. And we think, oh, this is revival. This is when they come in and they jump up and down and they shout, or they fall down the floor and they roll around, or they're barking like dogs. That's not revival. Revival is when you put your heart in this right here to do the will of God. And God said that He is ready. He's standing here and He's ready. He's ready to pour out revival. Hezekiah, as I said, had been raised by a godless and a God-hating man, so you have no excuse. But Hezekiah had hearing ears, and he had an open heart door policy with God. And that's what God wants with you. That's what He wants with His church universal. He wants with this church, and He wants with this church. Hezekiah was not content to just have a quiet, closed-mouth relationship with God. And I can tell you right now, you cannot be a Christian and it just be you and God. It's just me and God. I meet Him in the closet and it's just me and God. No. Hezekiah has a public and a vocal love for God. Now listen, he is a politician. Would we call him a politician? He is a politician. Hezekiah was not joining himself to wicked nations. No, he was going to do the will of God. Now Hezekiah's father, what had Hezekiah's father done? He had barred the doors to the temple. Not only had he barred the doors, but he had brought destruction into the temple. Not only he brought destruction, but you'll see that he put the lamps out. He took away the burnt offerings. All of those things were done away with. But Hezekiah said, no. He said, you know what? This is what Dad did, but I'm going to follow my Father in heaven. You may have a wicked father, but don't follow him. Tear down his false altars. Open the heart and be ready to receive what God has for you. And so we see that Hezekiah, he was willing. He was public, and he was willing to lead a nation. He was willing to lead a nation, and he was willing, as David did, to lead the people of God. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing? The first thing that he did was he opened the doors to the house of the Lord that had been barred. And that's what the Lord's saying to you, that you have to open. You have to open the doors to your own heart. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? This is where I want us to stop and take a moment. I want us to take a moment and think about that very verse that Paul wrote. Because when I look in the mirror, I see me. I see me. When I became born again, I received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. For whatever reason, this is how he's chosen to do it. This is how he's chosen to represent himself on the earth today, is to come and to live in us. And Paul writes this, but I don't know that we always grab hold to it. And sometimes we grab hold to it and then we walk away and we forget. He said, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? He dwells within us. Those who are believers, he dwells within us. It's holiness that dwells within you. Righteousness dwells within you because he is righteous. He is holy. It dwells within you. There's nothing good within you but what he is. And Paul says that he dwells within us. He's come to take up his abode in us. The Holy Spirit says to you that you have closed the doors and barred them. You are worshiping at altars made by your hands. Today he wants you to open the door. The Holy Spirit says he will repair. He will repair. Verses 4 and 5. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square. And he said to them, hear me, Levites, now sanctify, sanctify, consecrate, or set yourself apart. Yourselves sanctify, consecrate, set apart the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. All those who call themselves preachers and teachers of the word. I want to talk to you for a moment. That's who the Holy Spirit wants to speak to at this moment. All those who call themselves preachers and teachers of the word, God is calling you to sanctify, to consecrate, to set yourself apart for your calling, for yourselves, that you may be of service in the house of God. See, God has preachers and he has teachers and he has leaders in his church. Why? Why? So that they can just have a position? No, because he's burdened them with the responsibility of his word to bring forth good fruit, bring forth a good word to his people, to feed them things that will, the word that will nourish them, not to give them poison. But it's time for all. Listen, God's speaking first in this house. In this house right here, for those who would stand behind a pulpit, those who would stand in front of the people of God, he says it is time for all the rubbish in your life to go from the holy place. It is time for you to preach and teach without rubbish in your own house. It is time that you begin to open the doors and pick up the trash that has littered the house of God. God has placed leaders in his church and they are the first ones that he will call. God's going to deal with the leaders first. If you look at this, it's Hezekiah the king. What does Hezekiah do? Hezekiah has to call the Levites and the priests in. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. God is speaking. God is speaking. They need to open the door that has been barred shut. They need to remove the rubbish of lies, false teaching, and destroy the false altars. God puts leaders in every assembly. And he starts with those who would handle his word for instruction, rebuking, and exhorting. But people of God, it does not exempt you. You are not exempt from this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, this is a scripture that you all know. Peter says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You do likewise, as God is calling the leaders in the church. Just as we have read here, you need to take out the rubbish out of your own life. You need to take those things out that defile the temple of God. Today, do you have hearing ears? And the Holy Spirit is here and He is speaking and He is ready to pour out. Listen, folks, I'm not up here just trying to teach you something. I'm not preaching at you. I'm telling you that I have been at the throne of grace and this is a word for you. Take note. Have hearing ears. God says that He's ready. He is ready to pour out. But He says you have to sanctify yourself. It means to set yourself apart unto Him. Confess your rubbish and cast it out and remove it from the holy place. Listen, if there is something in your life that causes you to stumble, if there is something in your life that's holding you captive that God doesn't have the rightful place, that causes you, when you come into the service, causes you to shut down and you begin to put that wall up so that the heart can't hear and you begin to close your ears and you begin to fidget and think about other things. If those things begin to happen, let me tell you what. This is what you should do. You should crucify it. You should have an act of violence against that thing that hinders you from being in the right place with God. And you know I'm not talking about being violent to someone. I'm talking about that thing that hinders you. That's the only way that you can be rid of it. You have to see it for what it is, and then you have to deal with it. Deal with it. In verses 6 through 9, it says, "For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken Him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord, and turned their backs on Him. They have also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and He has given them up to trouble, to desolation, and to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, because of what we've just read, because of these things, because of the doors being shut, because that there is no love for the Word of God, because there is no prayer, because there is no repentance, the burning of the offerings. Our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity." God sees all our evil. It's not hidden from Him. Now, I can hide the things that I do from you. You can hide the things that you do from me. You cannot hide anything from God. Everything is seen. Everything is seen. There is nothing hidden, and you cannot. He hears everything. Confess your rubbish. Cast it out. Our disobedience has offended a holy God. The question that the Holy Spirit is asking you is, have you forsaken Him in your life? Have you forsaken Him in your heart? And have you forsaken Him in your ways? Listen to the Holy Spirit. He is speaking. He is here to rebuild, to restore, and to breathe on all who have hearing ears. Our God is merciful, and He desires living water for all who will come. His desire is for a holy fire to burn in your chest, not the fire of His wrath that is reserved for His enemies. Death and the wrath of God will come to all who shut the doors, who put out the lamps, and who stop burning incense, who stop praying. Are you guilty as King Ahaz of closing the doors on the house of God? I'm talking about your own house. When you close your life to the will of God, when the doors are closed and barred, it means all the previous activity that took place in God's house is no longer happening. This house is no longer in operation for the purpose and the person it was created for. See, this life is not our own. Contrary to popular opinion, contrary to magazines, to the TV psychologist, contrary to what you hear in the world today. It's not about you having a happy life. It's not about you having your way. It's not about you having your will. It's not about what you have. It is about God having His way in your life. That's what He wants. He wants to have His way in your life. Not your way. Not what you think. And we don't think that way. Now you can say amen there because that's the truth. We think it is my life and I will do as I please. And we lie to ourselves every day when we do that. When you put your heart on lockdown, because that's exactly what you have to do. You have to lock your heart down and you have to shut your ears. And when you put your heart on lockdown and kick out the architect and the owner, it then becomes a place filled with debris, trash, and vermin. When you have a closed door policy to God Almighty, you have an open door to decay and destruction. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." And that's a promise from Him. When the Word of God is not the lamp that directs your life, you grope through life and darkness. When the Holy Spirit spoke that to me, brought to my remembrance in the book of Genesis, and He reminded me of Lot. And God had sent the angels to rescue Lot and his family. And when Lot took them to his home, all of the men, now I want you to hear this, all of the men, when I say all of the men, it said young and old, little boys, bigger boys, young men, old men, decrepit old men, all the men. They came to Lot's house because they wanted to perform a wicked and a perverse action against the men. They demanded that those men be given to them so that they could continue on in their perverseness. And when the angels struck them with blindness, it says that they continued in their blindness, groping at the door so that they could continue in their blindness. They continued groping because they wanted to continue with their wickedness, with what they had in their heart, even in their blindness. They wanted to continue in that. And if you do not let this be the light of your life and the lamp to your feet, I'm telling you, that's what you will do. You will go through this life and you think, I know everything. I see all. I see very clearly. But you are not seeing clearly outside of the Word of God. And if you are not spending time in this every day, you think, oh, I'm still tight. You're not. You go forward with God or you go backwards. You go forward with God or you go backwards. You do not sit still. God is always moving. And He's moving because He's leading His people where to be with Him. Because He's gone to prepare a home for us. And He's coming back. And He's coming back for that bride. And so in Psalm 119:105 it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I don't know about any of you. It's not just because I wear glasses, but even when I was younger, hard to imagine, but even when I was younger, I couldn't see in the dark. I'd have to have a flashlight. And in my own house, I know where things are, so in my own mind, I think I can see in the dark because I can get up and feel my way around. But if I were to spend the night at Leah's, I wouldn't be able to see anything. I'd need a light. And so this place, this world is not your home. You can't go through this life and think that you can find your way, that you're okay. You need a light, and this is the light that you need. This is the light that you need. Psalm 119:130 says, "The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." If someone tells you, oh, I just can't understand this, let me tell you what, then those who are born again receive the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit's the only one that can open this up. He is the only one that can give light to this. Because why? Because it's His Word. This is the only book on the face of the earth. This is the only book that has ever been written that is alive. that you cannot read outside of the Holy Spirit. You'll never understand it. It'll never make sense to you without the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can breathe on it and give you life. And look, He says that even the simple, He gives understanding to the simple. A child, He has written it that a child can understand it. He has written it so that we can have great thinkers. I'm not one of those. But He has written it for the simple, so that we can understand. Why? Why? Because He wants you to know how to go through this life. He wants you to know how to live in this world. He does not leave you to grope in the darkness, thinking, I don't know which way to go. I don't know what is right. There is nothing that you will go through. There is nothing that you will face in this life that this does not have the answer to. And if you can't look it up and find it, then you sit down with God and you talk to Him about it and wait for Him to show you. In John chapter 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I love this. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. There He is at the temple. And there's the lamp that Ahaz had put out. And He's standing there and He says, this is fulfilled because I am the light of the world. The lamp being put out is a picture for us of the light of His Word. It is a picture for us of the Word of God. That is our light. That is our lamp. Now, does the church at large say the Word of God today is irrelevant? The Word of God today is outdated. And the Word of God today is not authoritative. It has no authority over me. Where do the leaders of the church stand? Where do you stand? See, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to know. Where do you stand as a church when it comes to the Word of God? Where do you personally stand when it comes to the Word of God? Does His Word have authority over you? Does His Word have authority over this church? It's His Word before a man's word. What are your priorities? What are your priorities? Many years ago, I was at a women's retreat. The first message was titled, Priorities. Changed my life. Changed my life. God used that to change my life. My priorities. My priorities had not been God. My priorities had been my children, then my husband. That changed my life. God became my priority. And when He became my priority, when I put Him first and put them in their proper place, I began to hear God. I could hear the voice of God for myself. Priorities. What is your priority? Who has authority over your life? Does this have authority over your life? Does it have authority over your life? Or does your word have authority? Or God's word? Revival comes when God's word is the guiding light. This is hard to say. This is what the Lord said. He said the time for having church is over. The time of coming in and going out the same is over. It is time to be the church. God's Holy Spirit is here and He is speaking and He is ready to do what He is on the earth today to do. What is His mission? John 14, 23 through 26. Jesus answered and He said to him, if anyone loves me. Now see, you may think, well, Pastor Maggie, that's just you talking. That's not really God speaking. That's just you talking. This is what Jesus said, and so you look in your own Bible. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The Holy Spirit comes when we're born again, but is He at home? Is He welcome? Is He welcome in your life? Is He welcome in our church? Do you want to have church or do you want to be the church? God's been speaking. He's been speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking for weeks and months through Pastor Mark. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, He's in the earth today. He's the one that's come to do the work and to speak to us. When the Father will send Him in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. And when He comes in, He upsets the apple cart. God's not concerned with your plans for your future. He's concerned with His plans for your future. Do you want your apple cart upset? Most of us don't. Now, I'm just here to tell you. Listen, I just had a birthday. Happy birthday to me. And I got a little bit older. And as I get older, I didn't used to be this way. I could kind of just go. But I like things a certain way, certain time. I don't like for anything to interfere with that. I've got to have plans. You need to call ahead. God doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way. God has His own plan. Do you want to live a life ablaze? Revival will bring an urgency and a hunger for the Word of God and the will of God. There is no way to read this and your heart is not stirred to do the will of God. That's what happens. But when you have sat for so long and you lock the door, you have to be able to fling open the doors. You have to fling open the doors. It says that, you know, that they didn't allow the incense to be burned. And the incense, we know, is a picture of prayer. We know that King Ahaz, when he shut the door to the temple, he put out the lamp and he did not burn incense. He says, no entrance into the house of God. I don't want you hearing the word of God. And I don't want you offering prayers. And we know that it just brings destruction. That's all it brings is destruction. The church at large has replaced prayer to God Almighty for the rituals of pagans. I'm not blasting other churches and saying, only this church is right. No, I'm telling you what's happening. There are churches here, I know, in the valley. There are youth groups here, I know, in the valley. I have talked to youth leaders. I've talked to pastors in other churches. And they tell me about this wonderful thing they're doing. They built a labyrinth at their church. And you know what a labyrinth is? It's this, I want to call it a puzzle. A maze. Thank you. It's a maze, you know, and it has this way, that way. And you've got to figure out how to get out, right? And so it's all left up to you. You need to be thinking. You need to be on your toes. You need to think how you're going to get out of this thing. That means you need to depend upon yourself. That is so far removed from God. It's not turning to God or to His Word or to prayer. You have churches today, instead of praying, they're burning candles and incense to the dead. They're sitting and blanking out one's mind to receive the thoughts from beyond. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This renews your mind. You cannot come in here on Sunday mornings and think that you get enough. It's not enough. I'll bet that you wouldn't come in here on Sunday mornings and just take a piece of communion bread and dip it in the juice and then not eat the rest of the week, would you? None of us look like we do that. Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do accordingly to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That is the meditation of a Christian. It's not a blank mind. I know that if you drive through this valley, I'm shocked at all the yoga facilities. And then I'm even more shocked when you ride by and you see that on some churches they say, yoga meeting at this time. There is no way that you can practice yoga and say that you can make it Christian. You can't make it Christian. Because every move in yoga has something to do with the devils that they worship, the demons that are behind it. Prayer is important, and so what we have to pray on is this Word. We don't have anything else to pray. If you want to know what's on God's mind, you need to read the Word so that you can pray it. I want us to turn over to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when Anna has spent so much time in fasting and praying, this woman, just as you up above this, the scripture before this is Simeon. It's where Joseph and Mary, they come in and they bring Jesus to be. He has to come in. Remember, there's an offering that has to be made. And Simeon has been promised by God that he would not die till he saw the Redeemer of Israel. And Anna, this woman, she comes in and she recognizes. She recognizes because she's been in prayer and in fasting. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we're just kind of jumping in the middle of this, but it says, these all, who are these all? It's the 120 that were in the upper room. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And so I want you to see this. It says, they continued in prayer. If you go through the book of Acts and highlight prayer, this is what you're going to see, what prayer does. You may think, oh, I just can't pray. But this is what prayer does. Prayer, it raises the dead. It opens prison doors. There's healings with that. Demons are cast out, and there is Holy Spirit filling. Churches are planted. And there are those who are called, pastors and elders and missionaries are called in prayer. Prophecy and gifts of the Holy Spirit. The burning of incense in the house of God was corporate. You say, I have a prayer life. But corporate prayer is not necessary. All scripture applies to the corporate body also. We are so accustomed to coming to church and hearing a sermon because we need something. We never stop to consider that God's speaking to us as a church. We are so me-centered. So God was just speaking to me today. You are part of a living organism called a church. That's what you are. You're not part of a meeting. You're not part of a club. But you're part of a living organism called a church. God speaks corporately. And I'm telling you that corporate prayer meeting is at the heart of God. It's at the heart of God. And so that you know, God gave me this word before there was a prayer meeting this week. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So where in your list of priorities, where when you say that I believe the Word of God, where do you put corporate prayer meeting? That's something that you need to understand that is at the heart of God. Prayer is to come before the King, before the Father, before God Almighty. Holy Spirit speaking, I am here to do the will of He who sent me. This is God speaking to you. He says that you are not left as orphans, but I have come to give you power. He has torn the veil that once separated you from His presence. I have come to fill you. I have been sent to open up His Word that you may have light in this dark world. That you may come with boldness to the throne of majesty. His glorious throne where He waits to speak to you. To those that He has redeemed. Those that He's purchased. You have no power. There are those in this church, there are those in the church at large who have no power. They struggle with things that they have struggled with since before they became a Christian. And since they've become a Christian, they still struggle with those things. They have besetting sins. They have things in their mind that torment them. They have things in their heart that torment them. They have ways that they cannot lay down. But it is because you do not believe this. There is no deliverance. There is nothing for you outside of this. And when you come humbling yourself in prayer, and see, let me tell you what hinders so many people from prayer. First of all, they think it's boring because they have forgotten whose throne they're going to come before. They don't see the power in prayer. But there is power in prayer. And God answers His people in prayer. That's how He answers in prayer. He speaks in prayer. He moves with power in prayer. And corporate prayer, what holds so many people back is pride. Pride holds them back because you don't want to come. And we want to be respectable, right? We all want to be respectable. When years ago, when things weren't so respectable happening in the Hillis household, there was a lot of pain going on. There were some things that were so devastating. But I did not want to say anything, because I got enough little comments coming to me already. And I remember being in that circle that night. And God, when you want to be respectable, I'll tell you this. Don't try to be respectable. Because when you try to be respectable, here's what God does. He presses that heart so hard that you cannot take it, that it will burst. And it bursts in front of everyone. And I remember that night that I broke down and cried. I thought I would not stop. I thought, God, let me stop. I could not stop, and my body was shaking. I needed the church to pray. I needed the church to stand in prayer and to believe with me, because I was devastated. And I needed the power of the prayer of the saints. But pride will hold you back. Respectability will hold you back. And lack of faith will hold you back. And I'll tell you what else will hold you back. Because you think nothing happens. God's not a genie to perform for you. You come before the throne of a king, not before the Queen of England, who is but a person. You come before the throne of a king. His throne is so glorious. If you want power to overcome, it's going to take a humbling. That's exactly what it takes. Humbling. Humbling yourself. Because you do not pray. You have no power. And you will not commit to corporate prayer. You come to service each week as you would go to work. It's just another day. You're just going to go to work. But this is my work day at church. And you come if you're not too tired. If you didn't stay up late watching a movie. Or you were out doing something else. Or sometimes you stay home because you got to go to work Monday. Why don't you say amen to that? And if something better is not happening, if I don't have something better planned, I'll come to church. You do not come in early enough to pray for service. Where's the commitment to pray before service begins? Where's your heart? Do you rush in just before service starts because maybe you don't want to speak to anyone, or maybe you took an extra 10 minutes? But why do I want to grab someone and say, let's pray for the service? Because I'll tell you why. You don't expect God to be here. And you don't expect God to do anything. You don't expect God to speak into your life, to work change in your life, and to deliver you. You want to come in and have church. Come in this way and go out that way. You want a performance. And you want to be an audience. I called you here to work here. This is the message that God's been giving you as a church. He said to love one another. You can love your family, but He said love one another. Love one another. Not saying, oh, I love you, brother. Love one another in prayer. Love one another to have tears over the suffering. Love one another to rejoice and shout when good things are happening in their life. Love one another to say, you know, that's not right. That's not right before the Lord. Let's you and I pray about this. Let's take this to the Lord. You can't live like that. God wants you to love Him enough to be obedient to Him. Why do you not join in my body for prayer? You are praying for revival, and God says, I'm answering. This is what God said. He said, I'm answering. Have hearing ears. The church of the 21st century says that God says that I do not dwell in those meetings. I dwell with those who are open to my will, my word, and to repentance. Repentance is a biblical word, and it is a Christian word. It is not an outdated word. We don't have to change the language. We say what Scripture says. If Jesus said repent, why should we change the message? Why should we change the message? We don't change the message. King Ahaz had taken away the burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings are a picture of repentance. Where is the altar of repentance in the church? Oh, I don't know where to go at the end of the service. I don't know how to respond to Pastor Mark, so I'm just going to stand right here and hold on to this. Usually there are chairs up here. If there's not, come and get on your face. Let me tell you what repentance involves. It involves this. You got to get up. You think I can just stand right here so nobody can see me and I can just say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Yes, you can. But when God calls a church corporately, He expects the church corporately to respond. To respond. When you come in here, God's not just speaking to me. He's speaking to you as a body. You need to have hearing ears today and hear what God is saying. Where is the altar of repentance in your own life? We are not only responsible for our own hearts and being right, but did you see what he said? He says that our fathers have trespassed and done evil. And I'm here to tell you that we live in an evil nation. This nation of America, it is an evil nation. God has something against this nation. And the time is coming. The time is coming when God calls all things into account. And where will you stand? Where will you stand? If today is my last day on the earth, if today is my last day on the earth, I want to be faithful to God. I don't want to come there and pat you on the back. See, what I really would like to do is to come and say, you know what, you're doing good. You're doing good. But I'm not. I'm going to be faithful to God, because if I stand before Him, it won't matter what you say. It's going to matter what He says. He requires obedience. God says that we have a wicked nation. We come together corporately. We pray for the needs of one another. We pray for the needs of our church. And we pray for the needs of the church at large. And we pray for these wicked leaders, for God to intervene. We pray for the church that's under the spell of the evil one. We pray for their deliverance. The Lord says, do you not hear? Do you not hear? Revival, open your heart. You cannot keep your heart closed. Have hearing ears. Repent and to pray. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, this is what he says. Now, I want you to listen to this and take this to yourself. Take this for our church. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, and that you should minister to Him and burn incense. God's calling you. You need to put your name in that place. You need to see that He's saying you. You. I take very seriously when I read this. Now, this was written to them. But Paul says that all of this was written for us, for our understanding, for us. This is written for you. And he says, do not be negligent now. See, you stand without an excuse. You stand without excuse. What will you do with what God's spoken to you today? I'm telling you that I know that I know that I know that God spoke this and told me to bring this message. And I'm bringing it to you today. I'm being faithful to God today and faithful to you. He said that revival is here for all. God says that revival is here for all. He said, but you are only a messenger. This is the word of the Lord for His church, for you. Do not let self hinder you. Today is the day. Not tomorrow. Don't walk out of here without responding to the Lord. Do not leave here. Do not leave your seat. Don't get up and walk out. God is not holding you back. His arms are open. And the Holy Spirit says, I am here. You need not be self-conscious. God moves all through Scripture corporately. If you go back and you read every time that God moved on Israel, He moved corporately. He moved corporately. You know, we have prophets in the Bible. And why did prophets come? Because the nation was turning. They were turning away from God. God would send them to come and to draw the people back, to speak to them about turning away. God doesn't want us to turn away. He wants us to turn to Him. Listen, all through Scripture you see that God deals corporately. Yes, there are individuals. You have Moses, but you only have one Moses, right? You have the Apostle Paul, but you only have one Apostle Paul. You are not Moses and you are not the Apostle Paul. You are the church. There are those that God draws out to Himself, and He floods them because He has an urgency for them to do something. But when He pours out on a congregation, it's because He has an urgency for you to do something. He wants to work. He wants to move. We live in a godless valley. We live in a godless time. What is your place here? What are you here for? You get in your car today. You look at the clothes on your back. You go home and you look at everything that you have, because you will die and you will leave it. It will not stand, but what will stand? The lives that you touch for the Lord. The lives that you touch for the Lord. God's not looking for respectability. He's looking for knees that bend, hearts that are bowed, and mouths that open with confession. In verse 28, just go over to verse 28 in 2 Chronicles 29. He said, "So all the assembly worshipped, the singers sang, the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offerings were finished." Listen. So all, who? Corporately, all the assembly. All of those, all the people that had come out. The singers sang, the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. When repentance was over, they came, and listen, when you allow God's Word to be master, to be the authority over your life, there is freedom that you have never experienced, and worship like you've never experienced, praise like you've never experienced it before. In verse 36, it says that, "Then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced that God had prepared the people." God has been preparing you. God has been preparing you. For He is ready to pour out. Now, where will you be in that pouring out? Will you be like Anna? Will you be able to be there and will you recognize it? Or will you be like the leaders who couldn't recognize the Savior when He came? You look back so many times and we hear about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and we think, oh, look at them. Did they just think, oh, look at them. They didn't even recognize His coming. Would you recognize His coming? Would you recognize His coming? So all the people rejoiced corporately. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 26 through 27, it says, "So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard." Listen, "And their prayer came up to His holy dwelling place in heaven." God said that He is going to answer this prayer revival. That's what the Lord spoke to me. Now you have the responsibility to respond. This is the time. This is the time for you. Either you want the things of God or you don't.